Adam's sexier hat that he's wearing, it's probably appropriate for us to look at a series that, amongst other things, does deal with
hats
and manners. Haberdashery and manners. Perhaps a series best described as a comedy of manners set in a pseudo-Victorian era.
With elements of paranormal romance.
Elements of paranormal... We're talking...
And steampunk sort of hints.
Bits.
We're talking here about the Parasol Protectorate series, five novels, beginning with Solus by Gail Carriger.
Carriger.
The main character is Alexia, who has a certain unfortunate background. Her Italian heritage means she's somewhat darker of shade.
Yes,
very difficult when one is reaching that marriageable age and one is just the wrong shade.
Well, and she has a Roman nose.
Yes, and a Roman nose. I mean,
past marriageable age, too tan and a little bit too large for Victorian morals.
So we're in a pseudo-Victorian era where various creatures exist, including Scottish werewolves.
Well, not only Scottish werewolves.
Well, vampires who act as dandies about town. And a Queen Victoria who makes use of these various supernatural creatures in her own special bureau dealing with, shall we say, those... people with an excess of soul, which seems to be the main cause for these strange events.
Yes. It's an interesting way of looking at the soul, certainly. Mm.
Yes, the definition of soul should be gone into, but they don't.
It is a delightful series. It's one of those few books where I picked up because I went into a bookstore and it had one of those little things underneath saying, this is a real, you know, this is a great read. Mm. So I thought, okay, it must be a great read. And surprisingly, it was. So it really worked out well in a way that I didn't expect to have happen.
Mm. It's lots of fun. A
very enjoyable series.
Mm. It's a series of five books and it very clearly finishes at five books. It could continue, but...
Yeah, and things happen, and there are major changes in Alexia's life. She being a soulless, or one with a deficit of soul, which has the strange effect that when she touches werewolves or vampires, they lose their special characteristics and revert to human form. She's also well on the way to being a spinster, because she's not fit for polite society.
According to her family.
According to her family.
She does education.
Yes, too much education. Oh. Certainly a very scientific bent, which is entirely inappropriate in a young lady.
Yes.
But she does have good taste in hats.
Yes. True. And she does meet Lord Macon, a Scottish gentleman, who also happens to be a werewolf.
A big brute of a man.
Good description.
As Ruth described him.
Yes.
But she's up to the task of handling him.
Yes.
And I must say, some of the sequences in the library were
where she goes
somewhat racy.
Yes. The books are ones I'd recommend for teenagers if they can cope with, or their parents can cope with them reading sort of very well-described sex scenes.
Mm. In the library.
Small quantity of
in the carriage, in pretty much... everywhere, really.
Well, in the first book, there are much less sex scenes in the following four, but the first book's only...
No, because then they're, like, married.
Well, yeah, you don't really need to talk about it then, do you?
Oh, no, they talk about a lot.
They
just
do.
Don't get the descriptions of the actual sex.
It was a really delightful book.
It was.
Mm.
So the first one.
Yes. Mm.